Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another blessed day in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. I am blessed, and I know that you are blessed on this blessed Tuesday. I want to welcome you all that is listening to this broadcast, no matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. I want to give you this phone number that is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, hey, I will pray with you. If you have any comments, hey, let's keep things rational. If you have any comments on the lesson, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2MAN at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, hey, for those of you that have been following us on Blog Talk Radio, you know how we do this. We open up with prayer before we go into any message, any lesson tonight. But for those of you that are first-time listeners, hey, that's what we do. We just don't jump into it. We always get invitation for the Lord to be with us. Amen? So we thank God for this opportunity. And so wherever you're listening to me at, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray together and petition the Lord together. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of thy precious Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and God. And besides you, there is no other. You are the all-wise God, and no one is wiser than thee. No one carries any greater knowledge or understanding than you. No one can give revelation to men like you can. So therefore, Lord, we acknowledge you at this time and this hour. And Lord God, we invite you to be with us tonight. Because, Lord, without you, we cannot go into a true study. So, Lord God, we ask today in the name of Jesus that you will have mercy upon us and bless us not only with the presence of your Spirit, but release to us what we need this day. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this great opportunity and this time you've given us to be able to petition you once again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you that's listening. May the Lord continue to bless you, your family, and your loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, tonight, the title of the subject is the Jehovah Witness, Section 2D. Now, Section 2D, this is the final part of this section where we have been discussing three things. And in 2D, I'm coming with a fourth witness, but on one of them, it's going to be a third witness because this past Sunday, I forgot to give you a third witness concerning the human government. Amen? So, therefore, this will be the fourth and final section on that. Amen? Praise be to God. And the three things is dealing with salvation, the resurrection of Christ, and human government. Praise be to God. And so we're going to start off tonight talking about salvation. Now, I'm not going to go and reread everything to you that of what the Jehovah's Witness teacher believe concerning salvation. I will just kind of sum it up and we'll go into the Word of God. And a couple of the chief things that we need to understand that Jehovah's Witness teach and believe concerning salvation. Number one, they teach that you have to be connected or accept the Jehovah's Witness. Okay. In other words, you got to be a Jehovah's Witness in order for you to be saved. Okay. In fact, they said that you've got to accept identify God's theocratic organization. That's what they call the Jehovah's Witness. So that's one of the things they teach about how you can get salvation to get saved. The other thing they say, it is a combination. They call it a combination of faith and good works and obedience. Now, the two things in their faith and obedience, yes, it involves that to receive salvation, but the works is the problem. And so you got many of them that believe that just because they go out in the field from house to house. And once again, I got to give them credit for that. They go house to house way more than we as Christians do. But they think that by you going house to house, okay, that's your ticket. That's how you get saved, okay? So what we have been doing on that part, we have been looking at witnesses from the Word of God that show that that's not true, that we are saved by grace through faith, amen? We looked at what Jesus told us in John 3, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, that's grace, because we talked about what grace means. Grace is unmerited favor. It is favor that you didn't deserve. It's favor that you couldn't work for it to get. It was given for us. And it was unmerited favor. There was nothing we could do to earn that. You understand what I'm saying? And he said that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's being saved or get saved. Okay? From what? From death. I sense the Holy Ghost on that. Hallelujah. Strong on that. Thank you, Jesus. And then we look at a second witness, which was Peter, who told us that we believe that it is through grace that we are saved. We saw that in Acts 15. We as believers, born-again believers, if you are a born-again believer, a true born-again believer, then you know and believe that it is by grace you're saved through faith, okay? You know that it's nothing that you earn, okay? If you claim to be a Christian, but you feel that you earn, you know, the salvation per se, then you're dead wrong. And you're thinking like the Jehovah's Witness that you can earn it by doing works. And that's a no-no. And then the third witness we looked at was Paul when he wrote in the epistle to the Christians at Ephesus. He told us that by grace ye are saved through faith. He just plainly told us, okay? And even showed us that by grace ye are saved, even when we was, quote, spiritually risen from the dead like Christ. You understand what I'm saying? When you accept Christ as Lord, you fit into the bracket where you were spiritually risen from the dead. Because Paul tells us in that same chapter 2 in Ephesians that we were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, he's not talking about literal death, but he's talking about spiritual death. You were spiritually dead. Death had a hold of your spirit. You were separated from God. Okay? That's when you're spiritually dead. Okay? And see, we was raised with Christ. Glory. Our sister, Holy Ghost. We were raised with Christ. That's showing grace, okay? There was nothing we could do to earn that. Only thing we could do was be obedient and to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in our heart that he was raised from the dead. There was no works we could do. We could have been all been millionaires and gave $1 million to charity, gave all our clothes away, you name it, but nothing you could have done could earn that salvation. Nothing you could have done that said you deserve that unmerited favor. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to look at a fourth witness tonight. Glory to God. The angel of the Lord, the Elijah, that Jesus mentions. Glory be to God. Matthew 17 and Malachi 4, I want to read to you possibly a couple of verses out of a couple of messages. Jesus sending the Elijah as he promised, Matthew 17 and Malachi 4, thus far 120 times, and he will continue to send them until the work is finished after the pattern that Jesus had laid down. One of the messages, which is called Message 101, which means it's the 101 time that Christ had sent his angel, the Elijah. March 11, 1983. Please ask the Lord about it. Okay? I'm pointing you to Jesus. Ask the Lord about what if I'm going to read to you is true or not. Okay? Did it actually come from Jesus Christ? This is the word of Jesus Christ by his angel or through his angel. Okay? Amen? And look what I wanted you to hear. And I ask for your undivided attention as I read this. He said in one of the things he said in his message, he said, it must be the Christ Jesus. It must be the Christ Jesus, his teachings, his words for salvation only comes by him. No other way, people. No other way. Salvation only came by Christ. It came through what? When he gave himself for us and showed that unmerited favor, that grace. He said it got to be Christ in his teachings. What did he teach us in the word? What have he taught us through the scriptures in the Bible? That it is by grace we're saved through faith. You understand what I'm saying? It's the grace of God that saved us. Once again, it's not works. The grace of God. Glory to God. Glory. I just sense the Spirit of the Lord very powerful on me tonight. Somebody needed to hear this, okay? Somebody needed to hear this word, okay? Maybe you being misled. Maybe you having people telling you that you can earn it. Oh, go do this, go do that. Now, don't get me wrong. After we become saved, you know, we need to do good works. To do it up first front before you accept Christ as Lord and think that that's going to earn your salvation, no, you being misled. And maybe some of you that are listening have been misled. Maybe you have been having people to tell you, oh, go do this, go do that, go do this, go do that. Like some of you may have been misled to thinking that because you've been baptized into a church that you're okay with God. And you know in your heart you have not really received Jesus Christ as Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And what you're going to find out if you don't accept the truth, that when Christ do come back for his people, he's going to come back for saved people and not just water baptized people. Amen. A whole lot of people are being misled on that. That's why you find someone, you thinking that some of them is so happy and joyous because they have accept Christ as Lord. No, some of them are happy and joyous because they have joined the church. I guess some of you said, what are you talking about? I don't get it. You'll get it. See, it's not about, for many of them, I didn't say all of them, because some of them have accepted Christ as Lord and then got baptized. But some people have just been water baptized. And you see the excitement and joy. You go, oh, wow, they really glad to receive the Lord. It's not all about receiving the Lord. It's about them being glad being a member of a church. Because in their heart, they have no mind to want to change from living the way of sin. They just want to say that they're connected to the church. And the bad thing about it, some in the leadership have accommodated them. Why? Because some in the leadership, they just want members. They're not overly concerned about getting souls saved. Okay, hallelujah. Now, let me read another verse from another message. And this is called Message Jesus Sent to Elijah, August the 14th, 1967. Want to read one of these verses of what he said in here. And I ask for your undivided attention. And once again, I'm pointing you to Jesus. Ask Jesus if these words, what I'm reading to you, is true. That's all you have to do. Ask him. I'm pointing you to him. Amen. Now, this is what he said. He said, the Lord rested in the hands of evil men, and they caused to be brought about the plan of God. The plan of God. Notice he said the plan of God. Redemption and the resurrection through the death of the human, and the resurrection of himself to an example of life eternal for all mankind. Woo, glory. Oh, glory. For all mankind, not some of them, for all mankind, resurrection. But to many, a ransom, all they hear and obey, enduring to the end that they might be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Did you hear that? He said through the death of the human, when Jesus died in the flesh. Okay. Amen. And then when he tasted spiritual death for us. And when he rose, that brought about deliverance and salvation. See, that was the grace. The undeserving favor. That Jesus showed that he went in dying for us. Hallelujah. Who you know deserved it? Nobody. You could now. Some of you may try to talk and speak up and say, "Hey, well, somebody who there was his servant Moses, there was David, all that. They was considered men of God. Yeah, but they had some sin in their life because we all was born into the sin nature. They were the servants of God. They was unregenerated. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah." Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Thank God for his precious word. I thank God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost told me strong about this. Like I said, somebody out there listening needed to hear this. Like I said, you may have been, people have may have been telling you things, misleading you, thinking that you got to go out there and do works. Now, once again, once you become saved, now you do need to do good works. We're not knocking the good works. But use that to say, this is the thing that got me saved. This is the thing I need to do for salvation. No, you have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, as mentioned in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10, okay, with an honest and sincere heart. Jesus gave himself for you, and you did not deserve it. Now, you, not me, or anybody else deserved it. But because of his love that he had for us, he showed that favor of grace. Amen. So when the Jehovah's Witness come around trying to make you think that by you just going out there doing their works that gets you saved, or that you got to be a member of the Jehovah's Witness to be saved, then you know what the scriptures actually say, okay? See, they have a book called the NWT, New World Translation, and they claim, and I put quotation marks real big around there, the top and the bottom, they claim that it's the translation of the Bible, but I'm here to tell you it's not. It's not. Because their book puts words in there, shouldn't be putting words in there to change the whole meaning of the scriptures. I'm just going to be point blank to you. Amen? Praise be to God. Now, let's talk about the second thing about the resurrection. Okay? The resurrection. And once again, I'm not going to go through and read the whole thing to you about what they teach and believe. I'm just going to sum it up. One of the things we come to understand is that concerning the resurrection, they believe that Jesus rose as a spirit creature, that he did not raise with a body, nor was it the same body he had while he was here on earth. That's what they teach and believe. They believe that after his resurrection, when his disciples and them saw him, he manifests himself into different bodies. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They teach that. They even go to as far as say that he materialized, you know, 40 days after his resurrection. Okay? Amen. And so we looked in the Word of God to see what did the Word of God actually say. Well, the first witness, which is John, wrote down what Jesus said. And Jesus told us in chapter 2, I think there were verses 18 or 19 through 20, Jesus told them, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. Well, the Jews was thinking carnal about the natural building. And they're like, man, this building been put up like, well, been up 46 years. How you going to destroy and raise it back up in 3 days? And then the Bible tells us that he was talking about his body, okay? Resurrected his body. See, he resurrected that body, that same body that he told him, say, you destroy this temple, I'm going to raise it up. And he was telling them, I'm going to resurrect this body. So Jesus rose with a body, and it's the same body he had, but it was just changed. Amen? So our second witness, Luke, recorded what Jesus said. In Luke chapter 24, verse 39 through 44. And he told the disciples, he said, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. He told them, hand to me and see. And he showed them his hands and all that. Why? Because he showed them the same body. It was changed. So he didn't rise as no spirit creature like the Jehovah's Witness wants you to believe. He rose with a body. The same body, but it was changed. Mm-hmm. Because he told them in Luke 24, verse 39 through 44, he said, see, he said, hand me a seat. He said, a spirit have not flesh and bones. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, some of these scriptures, some of these things are so plain, you know. But see, this is where many of them, not just Jehovah's Witness, but these other religions who is against the teaching of Jesus Christ, and who was overall against Jesus, this is where they get many people at. They get many people at those who would not study the Word of God. And if you're one of those who listening to me tonight, let's be real, that you know you don't get in the Word, you don't truly study. I ain't talking about reading a whole chapter. Anybody can read a chapter. We can read a chapter and not understand. I'm talking about study. I don't care if you stayed on one verse 3 hours and only was on it for 3 days. God's going to give you a revelation. I'm talking about study. You know, you one of those that fall in that category that have not studied. Guess what? You are an easy target. Amen. Now, we looked at our third witness the other day was Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 to verse 54. And to sum it up, he told us this is how Christ laid down the format of a resurrection, immortal resurrection, that in an overall resurrection, you're raised with the same body, but it's changed. It is changed from a terrestrial body, which is an earthly body, to a celestial body, which is a heavenly body. Okay? It can't die no more, in other words. It's changed. And he said in those verses that since we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. With that heavenly body, it's not subject to this dimension of time. You understand what I'm saying? You ain't got to worry about it getting older and breaking down and stuff like that. No. Amen. And he said that in a resurrection, you are raised from mortality to immortality. Once again, what that means, that you can't die no more in the flesh. Amen. See, that's just like Jesus' friend Lazarus. When he was resurrected to a mortal resurrection. Now, many of them in the faith movement don't call it a mortal resurrection. I think they term it just being raised from the dead. But either way it go, he was raised back mortally. In other words, that means he could die again. But when you are raised from mortality to immortality, you can't die again. You understand that? You can't die again. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we want to look at our fourth witness. And our fourth witness, once again, the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ, he sent it through his angel messenger, the Elijah, as mentioned in Malachi chapter 4. He's the same one called the messenger in Malachi chapter 3, Matthew chapter 17, that prophet, which is known in Deuteronomy 18, okay, and in Acts chapter 3, okay. And I want to read one of these messages. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That the word of the Lord tells us in dealing with, hallelujah, glory to God, I sense the Holy Ghost, about Jesus Christ being resurrected, okay? Thank you, Lord. And it's called the 91st message, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And in this 91st message, Jesus sent out July the 15th, 1972. Now, I want you to hear what Jesus had permitted his angel to tell us concerning himself in connection with Christ, okay? So I ask for your undivided attention. Once again, go to the Lord Jesus about it. Go to the Lord Jesus about it. Amen? Now, this is what the Word of God says. He says, the angel said, I am your fellow servant, and my name is John. Resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah. Now get this, he said, I am resurrected. I was resurrected when Christ arose from the tomb. Did you hear that? I was resurrected when Christ arose from the tomb. Then he goes on to say, I am now a resurrected being in and with the redeemed of the Lord. Okay? Amen. That's what he says in the word of God. He says, I am body and flesh and bone. Just like Jesus said in Luke chapter 24. Amen. Because that's the pattern that Christ laid down in 1 Corinthians 15. They have a body. Jesus laid away. With Jesus in Luke chapter 24, says that, hey, fear have not flesh and bones. And here the angel of the Lord, the resurrected John the Baptist, said, I am body, flesh, and bone. I'm body, that's me. I come up in the resurrection, and since I rose when Christ rose from the tomb, and Christ took that on, I took that on. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. He took it on, people. Glory to God. Jesus, hallelujah. I just thank God for the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. He said, I was well, because you remember, and it said, all the bodies of the saints were slept arose. When? after Christ arose. Christ paved the way. So since they rose, the resurrected John the Baptist, let us know he rose body, flesh, and bone, so did Jesus. Okay? He rose with the body, so did Jesus. Okay? For the servant is no greater than the master. Why would Jesus lay down how the resurrection would be in 1 Corinthians 15 and not follow his own self? And since he paved the way for the resurrection, the first to be raised from the dead, that's what that immortality resurrection is about. You're raised with a body, okay? The Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, tells you that I was raised with a body when Christ rose from the tomb. So therefore, Christ had to raise from with a body, okay? When it made no it would make no sense for him to raise as a spirit creature without a body and everybody else given a body, okay? And he laid down the format of how a resurrection should be. Hallelujah. Glory. He shot the bohushiki. Glory Glory. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 All glory and honor and praise go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's who the glory goes to. Not to man, but to Jesus. The resurrection. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. He's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at one more thing. Let's look at the human government. And like I said, this is the third witness I'm coming with this because, once again, I forgot to give you this third witness on Sunday's broadcast on Section 2C. So I'm going to give it today. And I'm going to sum up, you know, concerning human government, the Jehovah Witness, they refrain from saluting any flag of any country. They refuse to sing any nationalistic songs. And their reasons they give that for them not to be involved in politics or government. One of them, they say, is that, you know, when the devil, you remember in Matthew 4, took Jesus to show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of it, and he said he had given unto him, and Jesus refused it. That's their reason why they don't get into politics or government. Another reason they give, they said Jesus had refused to be made king of Israel by the Jews. And another reason they said that when Jesus said in the Bible, follow us in kingdom is not part of this world, that is another reason why they don't get involved in politics and government. However, they have gone on to say, hey, we will obey the laws of a government as long as they don't conflict with our beliefs. Now, I wanted to show you, I have showed you in the scriptures through a couple of witnesses where, and the first witness was Matthew recorded that Jesus, you know, when the Pharisees come at Jesus and said they thought, according to the Bible, that they was going to entangle him in his words. Okay? Always try to catch Jesus at something. And Jesus, you know, sensed their deception. And they asked Jesus, they told Jesus, hey, is it lawful? Is it good to give unto Caesar? And when Jesus, I guess, had him to bring some money or something to him. I forgot what it was. But anyhow, he said, whose superscription is on this? You can find this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 15 to verse 22. And they said, Caesar. And he said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, render to God the things that are God. And the Bible said, huh, he made them speechless. Okay? There's none they could say. Put them to shame. Okay? Jesus didn't come. In other words, I tell you that God is, he is, quote, institute human government. Now, I'm not saying that everybody in the government was planted by God. No. Okay? But Jesus wasn't against the setup of human government because if he would have been, he would have told the Pharisees, say, hey, you ain't giving nothing to see. Don't give him a thing. Don't honor nothing. Okay? But he didn't say that. Okay? Amen. So, even concerning the government or leadership, God expects us to honor that You understand what I'm saying? And so then we looked at 1 Peter being another witness. 1 Peter told us to submit to every ordinance of man. Now, we know the word ordinance, the first meaning of the word ordinance from the Greek means a formation. And a formation, according to Webster, is an arrangement of a body or a group of persons in a prescribed manner for a particular purpose. So that can involve a government, okay? And so he's telling us to submit. Now, he wasn't telling us to submit to every single thing they handed out, even if it's wrong, it's when it's right. Because I think that's Acts chapter 5, verse 29, where he says it's better to obey God. We'd rather to obey God than man. So, in other words, we ought to submit to every ordinance, because ordinance is also dealing with the laws. We ought to submit to every law of the government unless it contradicts the law of God. Okay? And one example I gave you, you know, speed limit is 70. If you're going to run 90 to 70 and get a ticket, and you're going to complain, talking about, hey, I'm not of this world, I'm a Christian, and blah, 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 and I ain't got to pay this ticket. Well, let me tell you something. Go to God with it and watch what he tells you. You're going to be, as we used to say in high school, shame, because that's what's going to happen, okay? Because God is not going to support you in that. Now, if they come up with laws or something that contradicts the law of God, then God will be behind you 100%. When you stand up and say, no, that goes against what my stance in Christ. I'm not going to honor that. God will support you, okay? I'd rather have the true living God, my support and my backup and something like that, than to go out in something alone where he don't support me, okay? That's like some of the people in the churches. Some of them don't even want to listen to nothing the pastor got to say, okay? And they talk about, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm a man or a woman of God, and God used me like him, and I ain't got to hear blah, 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 okay? And this is why a curse have come on many of them, because they are in the spirit of rebellion, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I remember one of the things I was doing, I want to testify to this before I go on to my last witness on this about the human government. I remember when I was saved, I think in that time when this was happening, I had been saved probably about 1 or 2 years. And I'm here to tell y'all something. I'm not trying to be braggadocious. But if you is a law-abiding driver concerning the speed limit, you wouldn't want to ride with me during that time. Because I was getting so many tickets. I was getting tickets either from state troopers and city cops. I remember one time, maybe twice, but I know definitely once, sent me a letter and they was threatening to suspend my license because of the way I would drive. I mean, and tell you the truth, if I got a ticket for every single time I would drive like that, I wouldn't have no license, period, because I'm here to tell you, if you were riding in a car with me, the speed limit could be 35. I could be sitting there talking to you, just driving, and could be doing 55 in a 35 just like that. Amen. I mean, that's how bad I was, to be honest with you. Many would call it a reckless. I was a fast driver, okay? And now, you think God support me in that because I was a Christian? No. And if my license would have got pulled, you think God was going to say, they did you wrong, I'm going to do blah, blah. No, he's going to let me suffer a bit until I repent. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Now, the third witness on this, once again, I'm going to come with the messenger, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent this message, the 110th message out, June the 19th, 1991. Once again, showing that he's instituting human government. And he's not against it, per se. And once again, I'm not saying that everybody's in the government is planted there by God. We need Christians in the government. You know, Christians, when Christians be involved in politics and stuff like that. Now, I'm not saying let politics consume you as a Christian. But we need Christians in the government. We need some Christian leadership up there. Man, you got all kinds of other folks up in the government. You got Masonic leaders, Illuminati. What you think they're going to do, influence Christian value? No. They're going to influence Illuminati and Masonic value. We need Christians in the office that's going to influence God way. Okay? God way. Now, in this 110th message, Jesus sent it out June of 1991. This is one of the things he said, and I pray to you once again. Once I read it to you, go to the Lord. Okay, I'm not here to tell you, you just better hear what me, brother, and they say, take it to Jesus. Amen. Now, this is what he said. He said, in time, 12 disciples shall control and be over the work there and he's talking about in another country. I'm trying to think which see what country it was in. But anyhow, he was talking about in another country when he said that 12 disciples shall control and be over the work there, as I told you, in concordance with the apostles here. Talking about here in America, okay? Properly represented, always in accord with the rights and laws of the government. Do you hear that? If Jesus was against the government, he wouldn't be telling you to be in accordance, okay, with the rights and laws of the government. Okay? Now, once again, if those rights and laws contradict the word of God, that's different. But see, Christ didn't raise up to be just rebellious people. And see, that's what many people be looking at a Christian. When they hear that you're a Christian, they, oh, he ain't going to do well. But see, he don't follow the laws here. He follow his own too. That's what many of them think. That's why Peter said in the Bible concerning that, to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's what Jesus did with the Pharisees. He put them to silence. They was in ignorance. They think that they're going to entangle Jesus. Oh, we got him now, because he ain't going to know how to answer this. He's going to answer in rebellion against Caesar, because he's not going to honor the government here. And Jesus put their ignorance, put them to silence. In their ignorance, he put them to silence. And God will have you to do that too when you follow righteousness and seeing God, because he don't want you to see it as men pleaser. When you look at what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 15, he said, do it for the Lord's sake. He said, not for man's sake, not with your eye trying to please man. Because when you look at it just trying to please man, you will go with anything that the government say. If the government tell you to honor homosexuality, you'll honor it. Because why? You'll be looking to please. Jesus said, do it for the Lord's sake. So if they come up with something that contradicts the word of God, you ain't got to honor that. But if it ain't contradictory, do it for the Lord's sake. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Amen. He's worthy to be praised, people. So the next time a Jehovah's Witness is coming to you and saying, hey, you're supposed to be honoring the government, but we obey their laws, God. But you know that true government, you know, they want to bring up the true government of Jesus coming. It's going to be, you know, they talk about that, and that's true. The true government of Jesus is going to be overall government. Yes, sir. That's true. But right now, so don't let no Jehovah's Witness tell you, say you don't need to honor the government, you know, at all. Lead you to some kind of rebellious spirit. Because if you do, God is not going to support you. Okay? He doesn't have your back. You can counsel it. He ain't having it. Okay? Glory to God. Thank God for his word. His precious word. I'm very grateful to that. Word of God. Opportunity he's given. And once again, I've been doing this series concerning the Jehovah's Witness. And amen. That you may know the word of truth. Because like I said before, they have a book called the NWT. And that book is not of God. I'm not going to do the ifs, ands, and buts with you about it. I'm just going to go straight at you. It's not of God. Because that book put words in there that the scriptures don't say to change the whole meaning. And see, that book, together by their scholars. And one of the things about Jehovah's Witness, they depend on their scholars. It's no depending on the Holy Ghost now. Because remember, they think the Holy Ghost, it's an act of force. They don't think the Holy Ghost is a person. Okay? So you don't, how many times you hear the Jehovah's Witness say, you know, we pray to God for his spirit to give us revelation. No. I mean, I've had them come to me and say, do you know how to experience true happiness? And I say, yeah, you could experience it in the Holy Ghost. They would look at me funny, And they'll go, well, yeah, but you want to learn how to experience true happiness. I say, yeah, you can experience with God's spirit. And that's where they really had to come out and show it. That's what they say. See, they depend on their scholars, okay? Not no revelation of the Holy Ghost. And remember, for those of you who have been following the series, I gave you some research on Charles Taze Russell, who started the Jehovah's Witness. This man wasn't saved. This man lied about knowing Hebrew and Greek and Latin. He claimed to know the language. He lied about it, and look what he done started today under his old translation, okay? Amen. You know, you will be amazed at some of the men that have risen up, either saying they were Jesus or a servant of God or something like that, and how many people have flocked to them and they led many astray. You will be amazed. Some of you would. And see, the devil uses many of them to especially feed on people that are weak. When I mean weak, I'm talking about weak in the faith, who may read the word of God but just don't haven't fully accepted it. And really have no strong stance on the word of God in Christ, or people that's not really, because like I told you, and I know some of you probably don't believe this, and I've said it many times, I'll say it again. I don't care if you're professing to be saved. If you try to stand against the enemy or against anybody who the enemy uses or brings to you without you getting rooted in their words, they are going to shake you. Now, some of you hear me make that statement and you say, oh, no, not me. You got your chest stuck out and your head and your chin in the air. Oh, no, not me. I said, well, I tell you what. Keep staying away from that word and you'll find out. Because they're going to say something. See, this is what makes the devil a trickster and a deceiver like he is the biggest, the greatest deceiver you'll ever come across, and how he can use other people. He will use them to say something that will sound so true to your ears. And when you follow it, you'll find out it leads you down a path to destruction. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And remember, he's always trying to get people to go contrary to the word of God. See, I see some things in the body of Christ now, or among the body of Christ, that many so-called believers are doing, that watch, Satan is going to cause this thing to even escalate even more. For example, you got Dietrich Haddon getting up there saying, ain't nowhere in the Bible do God speak against shacking. And I'm like, say what? And then he gives an example about him and I guess the lady he married to now that he finally married, how they live together. So your example, what you're doing, you're going to set people in a course to where they're going to start living together. Now, here's the thing. When a man or woman just shack it, let's get real with this. The flesh going to get involved. Because both of y'all living in the same house. You got to take a bath, so that means you got to come out your clothes. Okay? Amen. And there will be a point where you come across one another where the flesh is going to rise. You're going to put yourself in that occasion to stumble. Hallelujah. Willfully putting yourself in harm's way. The Bible said to avoid fornication. You got to avoid it. That means anything you do that can lead up to it, or that is unwise, that can cause it to happen. Do you get that? Well, now, I have seen some people on a church supposed to be gospel song slow dancing up close, holding one another, like to a slow song. Watch, the devil's going to escalate this thing, and you're going to have people getting naked, and they're going to start justifying saying it's okay with God. Well, I'm talking about purity naked, doing some stuff, and talking about it's all right with God. Watch. I see that brink. It's on the brink, and it's going to happen. And see, what the devil going to do, especially, he's going to trick these people that who's supposed to be in the gospel, who got big-time influence, who people been looking up to, just crazy about, and all that, and they're going to start speaking some of that stuff that some off the wall, out of the way from the word kind of doctrine that's going to lead many people astray. Stuff that they got no business doing, and they're going to start saying, it's all right, the Lord's okay. And they're going to tell you stuff like, Dietrich, nowhere is it found in the scripture that you can't do dust and dust. What? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I am truly blessed tonight. Grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ once again for another night as this. Another opportunity that he has given me to come before you. And if the Lord say the same, I ask that you would tune in tomorrow for another God's Word to Man broadcast. And to be honest with you, I was thinking that I would not be able to make it today. I had something to come up, but praise God, he blessed me to get here in time. In fact, when I created the broadcast, I had something like 50 minutes left before I could come on the broadcast. And I thank God for the opportunity he has given me to be able to do this broadcast. Because I am blessed, and I sense being blessed to be able to come before you with the Word of God today, because such doors that God has opened for us. So, let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is God, and besides you, there is no other. Lord God, I thank you for this day and this opportunity you've given me to share your word with those who have been listening. And Lord God, I ask that you will water the seed that I've sown and bring forth the increase for your glory. That you would touch every heart tonight that said, Lord, I want to know the truth and show yourself unto them. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you, glory, for the presence of your Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. For you are who, glory? You are worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' almighty name. Father, I thank you. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for this opportunity once again. Lord, say the same. Look for another broadcast tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement. So once again, this is Brother Nate. Another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.